This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Kia ora koutou. You are listening to this fortnight's edition of Aratoi On Air. I'm one of your hosts today, Nick Tepper. And today as well, we have Sean Norling here.
Kia ora.
And in the studio today with us to have a bit of a chat about Hutch Gallery is Jay Hutchinson. So kia ora, Jay.
Kia ora.
Welcome.
Thanks.
I didn't butcher that at all. That was great. Sean's going to lead the direction, the flow of this one.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you so much, Jay, for taking the time with us.
Cool, thanks for having me.
Today, I just kind of brought you in here to have a little kōrero about Hutch, its genesis, where the idea came from, what you got going on in there, and maybe what you've got planned. So from what I can gather, you're a co-director. You set it up with your partner.
Yes, Julia was going to come in, but she's got a bit of a cold at the moment. So she doesn't feel like her voice will sound very good on the radio. So she told me this morning I was coming in.
Some raspy tones, yeah.
Yep.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your time and to Julia as well. You kicked things off. Oh, it must have been about a year ago, yep. Right?
March. We signed the lease in March last year, on the 1st of March, and we spent 2 months renovating the space, which had previously been an 80s bar called Rewind. Mm. And before that, it was a music venue for a dog with two tails. So it was, had a lot of paint, a lot of history. Before that, it had been Violet Fagan's Preservation Society, which also was
with
layers of paint. But yeah, we signed the lease and opened on the 9th of May, so just over a year. This will be our 12th exhibition.
One year around the block. So you're located on 21 Moray Place. Yeah.
In the Chambers building.
This deal with being a gallerist, where does it come from?
It's a problem I have. I actually work full time as a gallery technician and make art, so I might as well just fill the rest of my life up with more art. I met Julia. Well, we started seeing just as I opened a gallery, which is a more of a project space DIY kind of street level gallery, and it was down the other end of town. It was really cheap. Well, it wasn't really cheap. I just lived there on a couch. There was no bathroom, so Julia wouldn't move in with me when we met, so I mainly just stayed at her house. But we always talked about owning a gallery, and I was always like, well, it'd be way better if you were front of house and dealing with people because, you know, you're a prettier face and better with people. So we talked about it for a long time, and when we moved back to Dunedin, we were going to start it, and then life got in the way. And so it's one of those things, it's a lot of work, and so you tend to put off things that are a lot of work.
Yeah, the building itself is housed within. We didn't do that thing. We were like, should we turn off our cell phones first? Yeah, the building itself is housed in the Chambers building.
Yes,
and that was built in the late 1800s.
Yes, it was built by the Tempest Society because all the Temperance Order, because all the gold miners were ruining the Presbyterian Society. Because all the gold came out of more gold came out of Otago in that short period of time, and then came out of California. It was like a massive gold rush. Dunedin pretty much became like Deadwood, if you've seen that show.
The Temperance Order of the Good Templars.
Yep.
Used to hang out in that building. Is there a residual kind of energy?
But that's why the amazing curved ceilings in the back was to bounce the voices forward so you could hear about the evils of alcohol and womanizing and like not, you know, straying from the church. So, but it's got the 150-year-old carry floors are original in there. So it's still
fantastic.
Got parts of it where other parts, the whole front facade was replaced in the 1920s or 30s, which is where the lead light windows come from. It wasn't always as pretty as it is now.
It is a beautiful looking space. And you've done a year's worth of programming.
Yep.
In there. Now, how do you go about kind of setting your program, selecting artists? What's the kind of general vibe? Is it just you and Julia going, like that, let's do it?
That's pretty much. We're collecting artwork individually, and then so when you get together, you collect work together. Mm-hmm. And we just saw a lot of people whose work we liked and wanted to show, and so we just wanted to do it. It's what that whole, like, you know, why sit around waiting for someone to do something, you can do it yourself. So it's kind of like a lot of the artists, we've got some shows coming up later this year from artists that I've had relationships with in the past with a gallery, and then new artists that I met when we lived in Wellington for 5 years, hence the reason we were here, went away and came back. But it's like we're always kind of on the lookout. We don't take proposals. We're an invitation only, mainly because I've worked on in galleries. I was part of Blue Oyster Trust at one point where you're just inundated with proposals that are never quite what they say they're going to be. So it's easier if you're on the ground from day one, visiting the artist, looking at the art, having an ongoing relationship with the artist and working on what the shows are going to be instead of just being surprised that the artist has moved. And any working artist practice moves in multiple different directions at the same time. And so it's kind of like, so we work together more with the artists and talk about where we're going to go and what we're going to do. So
you just mentioned you're on the board of Blue Oyster.
It had been.
And, you know, they're just obviously around the corner down the road. You've got Olga across the gallery. Yep. Tell me about working within that kind of contemporary art space ecosystem. Is it all, how's it going?
Oh, it's going well. It's like, I always think there can always be more galleries. I feel like in today's current economic and political climate, it's better to have something to take your mind off where the world could be going and show the world where it could be going, you know, where it is going to where it could be or where it, you know, just give someone something better.
Kilda.
Alternative futures.
Kilda. Kilda to that. You've got a show on there at the moment. I think it's running through to June.
Yep. Most of our shows run for three to four weeks, so we have a monthly changeover.
So at the moment is the show Landmark. And it's all art school alumni in there at the moment.
This is a perfect example of how our shows come together. I quite like doing the group shows. We're talking about programming more group shows for the future. I really wanted to show Chris's work, and I approached Chris last year, but he said he'd need more time. And then in the process, we met Kip and saw his work, and I was like, well, Kip's work would go really well with Chris's work. And then we just chanced across Bryn's work, though. I knew both Chris and Bryn. I knew Bryn was a couple of years ahead of me in art school, and I knew his work. He was in photography, actually, so it was a completely different direction for his work. Now he works in ceramic. And then he just seemed to be like a really good fit for the other two.
Yeah.
So then we're like, well, these all kind of link. And it was actually someone else, someone at the art school, coined the Dunedin Polytech School of Art alumni, and we're like, oh, well, they are. We just haven't made that link. We don't. When I did my previous space, it was all about showing local artists that weren't being represented, where this immediately moved away from that, because it's like we're pulling in a lot of artists whose work we like and from our time in Wellington and other artists that we've kind of met through collecting work. It's like we did like 11-10 ceramics work, Denise Porter, so we pulled her into some shows, and we'll be showing her again at some point next year.
Fantastic.
And it's just kind of like always looking and always kind of listening and just trying to, you know,
being attuned and having a strong sense of style and direction for what you are doing so well. And so that exhibition featuring Bryn Corkery, Chris Schmaltz and Kip Goodall, it's got a bit of photography, printmaking, ceramics in there as well. And the show, I'm just off note, the show before was a kind of combined, a group show of ceramic artists as
it's
well.
Quite fun. We're discussing how somehow these two shows got clustered together because the rest of the shows are the solo shows for the rest of the year. And we're like, oh, we need to kind of program. It's also kind of a learning experience. It's like, you know, you could program it like two solos, then a group, but we kind of talk with the artists. A lot of shows have moved. Ed Batts has a show with us at the end of this year. He was originally going to be showing last year, but then he ended up too busy. So he's just kind of having to be able to move the schedules around for some artists. And so some get moved forward, some get moved back. Some people come out of nowhere and just slide right into this position. It's not very locked in, but at the same time it's locked in because we're having those long conversations and relationships with the artists, talking about what they're doing and what they want to do and how we can help them achieve that.
And the fact that you kind of connect to it on an emotional level, yeah, more authentically, just kind of adds that real authenticity to your programming. Yeah. So bravo for that. You're a practicing visual artist yourself. You still got time?
I have a number of exhibitions coming up, and I do fit those. And we also have a 3-year-old.
Yeah. Well so, done.
Yeah, no, it's well done. well done, Julia. It's a lot more work. I have a lot more respect for my parents now, having a 3-year-old.
Yes.
And in the trials and traumas and what you learn.
Kia ora, Jay. Stay strong. And anything exciting kind of in the near future, programming-wise or otherwise?
Oh, it's all very exciting.
Yeah.
I was told not to give too much away.
I understand. You know.
It's tough to not just like go blah over the next lot of shows just so people know exactly what's coming up.
But, respect you know. That. Well, needless to say, keep your eye on Hutch Gallery hanging out there in the Upper Moray Place, 21 Moray Place. It's a very cool space, and really respect the fact that you've created something new and exciting for art lovers in Otipoti, Dunedin. Thank you, champ.
Thanks, Sean and Nick. Cool.
Thank you.
Kia ora.
Project director/curator, installation artist, mama, live music coordinator for Inch Bar, Otipoti Boosted Mentor and Dunedin Dream Brokerage broker, Jess Covell, joins us this week for Aratoi On Air. Jess has been in the scene collaborating, creating works and experiences as part of the collective spectacle and providing nuanced support through her various roles to creatives all over the city. Nau mai, haere mai, welcome Jess, and thank you for taking the time to come and chat with us here at Aratoi On Air.
Oh, kia ora, Amy. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us in a sentence, and I'm just going to rattle them off, mm-hmm. and if you need me to remind you, that's fine. Can you tell us in a sentence about the following? Boosted, Dunedin Dream Brokerage, and what being an arts advocate in Otipoti looks like for you.
Boosted is Aotearoa New Zealand's only crowdfunding platform for artists.
And it's specifically for arts?
Specifically for arts, yep. So artists, arts organisations, people who are arts aligned, your project has to fit into one of the arts categories on the website.
And it can be for professional development in your practice, or it could be for a community arts project.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Perfect. What about Dunedin Dream Brokerage, aka
DDB? DDB is a fantastic organisation that brokers spaces for artists to present weird and wonderful projects within Dunedin.
And when you say broker spaces, what does that mean?
Brokering spaces. So it means that I liaise with property managers, landlords with who have an empty space, have or own, I suppose, or managing or owning, and get that space for an artist to present a project in.
What does being an arts advocate in Otipoti look like for you?
It looks like a dream, personally.
What a beautiful answer. Yeah. What a beautiful answer.
It's a really rewarding and special role to have, I think, and I feel quite lucky to be able to do that.
What do you think are the benefits to utilising a platform like Boosted for our artists here in Otipoti?
Boosted is a really great platform to use just with, basically funding being quite competitive. Funding's always been competitive, but as of late in this current climate, I think it's sort of exacerbated. So, Boosted is, it's a way to fund your project. It's a way to make funding applications look good, I guess, for your funders. Having a Boosted campaign in your budget can sometimes help in that regard, I guess. Like, we talk about it as the funding puzzle. So it's becoming something increasingly popular in funding applications, we've found, and not as a... Like, it used to sort of be one of those things where people would be like, oh, well, I didn't get funding, so I'll do a Boosted campaign. Whereas now we're seeing a jump in people being like, well, if I put this on my funding application, it shows my funders that I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket. I guess.
So it's moved from being an afterthought to a conscious thought.
Yeah.
As people put projects together. That's a really nice transition that you've probably seen in the last 5-6 years, just being on the scene and utilising the platform and also working alongside creatives. Can you give us some examples of some successful boosted campaigns here in Otipote?
Oh, yeah. We have tons of successful campaigns. 100% success rate, I believe. What has been great? Studio 2 did a really fabulous campaign. They absolutely smashed it as well, and they had quite a hefty target. So they were doing operational costs, and I think they ended up fundraising $32,000 in the end.
Wow.
Dunedin Fringe has done a couple of campaigns, both quite hefty targets as well. Pond did a really good one, Pond Gallery. So that was a bunch of recent graduates from Dunedin School of Art putting together a space, and that was really cool.
Penina, Ole Moana.
So I unfortunately don't get to handle the Boosted Moana projects. So we're a team of three boosted. So it's myself, it's Poteare and Flynn. And Poteare handles all the Boosted Moana projects. So she would have gone through that one. Ana Teofilo did one with Boosted Moana as well to open her gallery space. So that was also really cool.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Yeah. And can you provide us with some examples of DDB projects that have been realised in the last year?
Oh, yeah. So the last two projects, we had a fabulous project through Dunedin Fringe, which is a collective of ceramicists, city planners, where they...
Friends of the podcast.
planned the hospital. It was very funny. They were a little bit cheeky. And there was heaps of really great pieces made in the installation. Another one we did that's just wrapped up as well was poetry and visual art, which was What If the Gold Needs to Stay in the Ground, which was protest against the mining of the Dunstan Ranges. And that project ran for 42 days, which was quite a long one for us. Neuro Spice Girls was really cool. That was one of the first projects I did when I came on as broker. So that was a theatre show, and it was really well done and really great to see a sold-out theatre show in a weird pop-up space.
Looking at your practice, what are some highlights for you personally?
Just having the ability to make something that I am happy with, I guess. I really enjoy the research phase and then creating something and not really knowing how it's going to turn out and then seeing it and just being happy. And I guess I really enjoy, I'm big on interactive pieces, so I really enjoy other people's experience with works as well. I had a show recently at Blue Oyster and it was really great to see people interacting with it. And the gallery was closed for a bit of that time, but I had like a piece on the window outside and
it was beautiful.
I heard from lots of people that they've been walking along and touching it every day, which was quite cool to hear.
Can you give us a quick description, like a one sentence description on your practice? Because I don't think I did it any credit at the start.
That's cool. Currently, I am working in the realm of tufting. So that's like carpet making with a power tool, essentially. I've got a gun and it shoots the wool into the fabric. It's quite fun. It's quite labour intensive. And I guess you'd call that textiles. I'm big on sculptural pieces,
You are in a unique position, both as an arts administrator and a practicing artist. Upon reflection, what support has been most beneficial to you?
Oh, I think just the really solid community of people, which I guess extends to not only just the artists, but people who are running spaces. The likes of Aratoi I've received support from. Like, there's a really lovely creative community down here, which is why we chose to come back and live here, essentially.
It's really nice to hear that it was a decision. It just didn't just kind of happen, you know,
because
you've got your family here as well, which would have been a factor. Yeah. But being able to continue the things that bring you joy and your practice, you know, while raising a family, and that that lifestyle is conducive with the city is really nice to hear. What has been the most important lesson you have learned as a practicing artist?
To be kind to myself.
What do you need to manage the many roles that you hold?
I'd like a clone. That would be nice. just time and organisation. So I sort of have a map, I suppose, of how I spend my time. Yeah, it's tricky with multiple roles and kids and everything like that. But I'm lucky with all of my jobs where it's quite flexible. So I can work from home if someone has to stay home from school or things like that. I can do things a little bit later at night if I don't quite get it all done in the daytime. So it's
So that flexibility is really key.
It really is, yeah.
For you to deliver on all fronts.
Yeah.
Yeah. You work across disciplines in a way that cross-pollinates the best of multiple practices. What would you say is unique about the Otapuhti arts and music scene?
I guess, again, sort of coming back to that beautiful element of community where there's a lot of people who, Dunedin is a big city, well, I think it's a big city, I grew up in a small town, but there is just this really beautiful community of people and everybody knows each other, and you sort of cross paths a lot with people, which I've discovered doing these various roles is you really come into contact with similar people quite a lot, especially in the creative community. And it's really nice to have those connections, and I'm sure every town, every place has their beautiful communities, but I don't know, Dunedin, there's just something quite special about it.
What advice do you have for emerging artists, re-emerging artists, and artists who are caregivers and parents?
Being kind to yourself, obviously. Looking for opportunities and connecting with that community, I think, is really important because it's through, you know, meeting people, like going to exhibitions and hui's and things like that, that you make all these connections with all these wonderful people, and then opportunities present themselves through that way as well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time, Jess. It's been an absolute joy. And thank you for all your mahi. We look forward to seeing and hearing from you in the future.
Thanks, Amy.
Kia ora anō koutou.
Beautiful. Wow. So great to hear about all that wonderful stuff Jess is up to, and from old mate Jay Hutchinson as well about Hutch Gallery.
Very cool.
Lots going on, eh?
Cool art people in this city.
Mm.
What a wild episode it's been today. We had a phone go off.
Absolutely bonkers. I don't know who that was.
I had the sniffles.
Yeah, you did well to keep them at bay.
I almost muted my microphone. Mm. If you want to know anything about arts in the city, can you come tell us? No, we have social media that you can follow, which is great to find out about opportunities that are happening around our wonderful city of Otsipotsi. You can follow us on Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah, handle at Aratoi Otipoti on both those platforms.
Yep.
Chuck a call through to the council as well if you'd like to talk to us by phone. I love talking on the phone. My colleagues know.
Come have a yarn.
Yeah, come have a chat.
Have a coffee, have a yarn. Let's talk about funding. Let's talk about your cool projects.
We'll be back in a fortnight's time with another episode of Aratoi on Air. A big thank you to Otago Access Radio, obviously.
And until then, keep well.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.